Really want to.
Right?
And all you at home now can see me do that. Hello.
We almost didn't have like a cold open. We were just, the director was wistfully staring at her walls at something and, just like looking around the room. And then EG was decided to go on a rant about Ring doorbells. So welcome to the Dress
To be fair, as far as
and
rants go, that was very non-ranty. That was
Oh,
just
yeah.
yeah.
It
A
was very mild for you. You're warming up.
special. Yeah. See, the director's kind of given up on trying to prompt them because we all know her game now. So it's like, hey, we're down to the wire. Let me get you to say something weird so I can start the show without you noticing, even though we always notice now.
Some
I
people
did
always
this one.
notice.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it competed and we were doing it at the same time, but I
Click,
was
he's
never
talking.
clicking
Click,
the
click, click,
button.
click, click.
Yep.
Huh.
So,
I don't know. Because
yeah.
and on my side, I was clicking the button too, so I don't know which one
That's,
took
yeah.
it.
You just
That's
kept
why I'm
canceling
like.
each other out until one of you stopped.
Now it says we're live, and that's the important part. So,
And we're
Yay.
past our danger zones.
Woo!
Hooray! All
Fuck it
right. So,
all.
Exactly.
so we're going to talk about the thing we were going to talk about 2 weeks ago and
Yeah.
didn't. Well, at least we're
Yeah.
going to try. So,
Yeah, so Ebenezer is an interesting person, and there was a interesting thought posted to the Dresden subreddit at one point of, is he sick and dying? Is he old and reaching the end of the line?
Oh, he is that.
Yeah, but like, is he gonna die before he dies in battle from natural causes?
I don't think that, but I think to me the more compelling thing too is like to reframe a lot of his recent actions, in the idea of he's sick and he realizes he's running out of time and he's trying to get through Dresden, who is the most stubborn guy since Ebenezer, and that might explain a lot of his attitude in peace talks, of, just think of every interaction with your grandfather, I'm just saying, but maybe we had different grandparents, but to me, there was a lot of overlap there, so. And we didn't argue about White Court vampires, unfortunately, but
What did you argue about?
So I checked out a lot earlier than my brother did. So my brother's got a lot more, to share in this regard because he actually like stayed with him and helped him a lot. But like my grandfather was a mechanic, which kind of like doubles up on the swearing, like mechanics and then sailors, I think is how that goes. He got old a while ago in the sense that like he had a quadruple bypass and the doctors were like, you've got a year to live. And then he lived like 16 years past that, which is a long time to just not be able to do all the things that you have been doing your whole life and to try and impart that on your grandchildren who are millennials and didn't grow up around a wrench, and a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, he would get cantankerous and ornery, and we got all the cantankerous and ornery parts, but not necessarily still the mechanical skills. So but yeah, so yeah, there's some stuff where it's like, imagine Ebenezer just can't cast magic anymore because he's too old, like how angry he'd be trying to teach Dresden, like you're doing it wrong, but I can't show you because I'm old, so yeah.
Yeah, I
Currently,
think
Ebenezer's.
I
Go
was going to
ahead.
say, I think if I had to guess, it's less that he's probably sick. One, because when it comes to wizard healing factors, I don't even know that you can really get cancer to any meaningful degree that it's going to take you out in that way. But we don't know that for sure,
Maybe it's
obviously.
hyper mega cancer because he's a
Yeah.
wizard.
Yeah,
He's got,
maybe.
yeah. He's got,
Conjuritis in cancer form, and you're like,
he's
what?
got, well, that's the other
Instant
thing.
cancer.
Conjuritis has sort of now made it like, oh God, what if there's like conjure cancer?
Right.
But anyway, I think the main driving factor is probably twofold of the whole supernatural world falling apart, seeing the writing on the wall, and that this is going to be the big era of change, number one. And number two, all his failures with his mother and the road that led down, and he can see the parallels with Harry now, and he's like determined not to let that happen again, but he's making the same mistakes, just trying to smash him in the head with it. Even though he
True.
recognized that was an issue the last time, he sort of only has one modus operandi. So
those are both fantastic points, right? Like maybe Ebenezer's not sick, but maybe the world is, and that freaks him out just as much, you know, that he sees everything falling apart, you know, would be exactly the same energy without him having to have changed one iota. But yeah, absolutely seeing like him following his mother's footsteps with the whole, like, she shacked up with Lord Wraith and that's when I lost her. And now you're going to shack up with his daughter. The hell, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem in 12 months, isn't it?
Like, yeah, because the marriage announcement hadn't even happened by the time that Ebenezer killed Harry.
We've been thinking about all these, like, what if the White Court takes a swipe at him? And what if the Winter Court takes a swipe at him? Shit, what if Ebenezer's is in the bushes with a... a hog leg. He's just like, yeah, let's see you block this, you son of a bitch, you know. So like,
he's gonna be trying to take a shot at Lara and Harry's gonna jump in the way of it, so he's gonna kill him again. God damn it, every time.
We even have one of the most like 80s action movie lines between those two, right? From Turncoat, you know, touch him again and the only thing they're gonna find to bury you is your $500 pair of shoes, you know. It's like, ah, come on. He didn't like her already. So I don't know. Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably going to be thinking back to that day on the island. Like, why didn't I squish her? Why didn't I squish her?
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's magic. He's just going to conjure a stress ball of Laura's head. And...
Except it's going to be like, you know, a thaumaturgical link. So it's going to be her actual head going.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that's not the direction I expected this to go, but that's going to keep me.
I mean, it's tonight, just, so. I don't, it's not impossible that he's sick. I just think it's more of the, you know, the fact that all this is going, I mean, he's ready to open up now about Harry being a Starborn. So he's clearly at least trying to give him all the information to make an informed decision, maybe. Whereas he didn't maybe necessarily do that with Margaret, with what she was trying to do, or maybe he did and that didn't work out. But
Margaret knew how to make a Starborn.
Sure, but it's possible.
Which is probably, is that why they have those rules? We don't teach the kids about Starborn because they're going to run then they try to make them. One. Yeah. So
I mean, that would make some sense.
Yeah, we call that the Margaret Le Fay rule of wizardry. So like, don't teach the kids anything that boinking will get them what they're after, you know, like, so.
Well, you would almost wonder if it was a thing between all nations, because they all seem to be invested in either getting or killing Starborns as time goes on, right? Like, you know, obviously Mab has some interest in it. Dracul has interest in it being one himself. Ethnew having listened around, you know, and he knows enough about Starborns to know their importance and what they're going to be. So, but a lot of them have died, as we know, per the story and per word of Jim. And I don't think that's an accident.
Well, I think it's one of those lines of work, right? That's like saying, you know, loads of hitmen have died, you know, well, yeah, that's kind of, they're in a dangerous line of work. Most of your Starborn probably aren't, you know, on the benches, so to speak. You know,
no, even if they are, it's more just like getting rid of the competition. If Dracul wants maybe to be the one, the fulcrum this time.
Yeah, that would be one. And plus we know there's comparatively few compared to, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there were less Starborn than Hitmen active in the world.
Well,
because I think there's what, like 20,000 or so. Actually, we never got the exact number, but it was a couple tens of thousands, if I'm remembering correctly. And they've been whittled down quite a bit.
Yeah, that was like the number when they were born. 45 years later, how much do we have?
Right. And I think for sure there are probably creatures, you know, like Dracul and, you know, potentially others that are running around hunting them. Sure, fine. But, you know, like, I don't think it's an organized thing, if that makes sense. That's kind of my quibble, is that, you know, like, maybe if you get your hands on one and you know what you've got, you try to protect it. But I doubt that there's like, you know, the Black Council, for example, do they even know? And are they running around trying to off a bunch of Starborn? Because not once has Cowl ever confronted Harry about it, has he? And, you know, so.
No, but I also wouldn't be surprised if it's going to turn out that he was one.
Right. But it would have to be the previous cycle, right?
Yeah. So. Because well, I mean, Hell if he's absolutely older than Dresden.
I was going to say he is older than him, and it depends on how old he is and what he is. If he's still just a mortal wizard, he would be older than even Rashid with his time shenanigans to be have. Like, Dracula makes sense, because whatever he is, he's old enough to have been around
right.
for whatever cycle it was.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the, you know, at Vlad and stuff, and assuming we've got like a one-to-one, you know, crossover and whatever, that he's the same guy or whatever, then...
You know. I think we do, because that's been mentioned before in the books.
So, yeah.
So. That they were at least those historical figures, and that was the 1460s. So that was, you know, 600 and that would, years ago.
Yeah, that would be the previous cycle. At least right. you could squint and look sideways and be like, yeah, he can 666 years, you know? Mm-hmm. So
well, it's also 45 and then we found ago. Out that these guys play as historical figures throughout time. You know, Odin's been right. Beowulf in this. So like, you know, even if Dracula is older than that, and this just happened to be one of his most prominent known things, depending on what he well, is.
And Dracula's supposed to be an actual demon again, right? We're doing that thing where he's like, Dracula made, or, well, his kid made the Black Court. He is not Black Court. He's a
demon. He took it over because you know? It was opportunity. But yeah, right. His son is the one who made the Black Court, and now the son is in Mab's Garden, I think.
Yes. Something
like that. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, there's been many conflicting things about that. I don't know if he fully decided at the time what he was going to do with it.
Yeah, unless Cal got put on some kind of ice, you know, whether he got sequestered in time, like presumably Rashid did, you know, Rashid's probably more skipping through time, right, by going to the gates and whatnot. But like, unless Cal has some kind of shenanigans or was literally put on ice or figuratively put on ice, I don't imagine he's from the previous cycle.
No, he would have been from this one.
Because certainly if he was that old, like legit, like, a 600-year-old wizard is probably pretty fucking powerful, you know? So Cowl seems to be like he was stronger than Harry, but Harry seems to be catching up in a lot of ways, you know, in my estimation.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like he that's why I still think he strikes me as being, even if he's not Petrovich, at least in that kind of vein, ballpark, because yeah. I can't imagine Cowl being that old and still constantly losing this much. But then again, Nick is right. older and he loses all the time as far as I'm concerned. So I know he's got that grand backside plans and he's got that, but it's like,
well,
I
mean, just every thinking, time
it matters seemingly to him, he seems to get.
Yeah. I'm just thinking it's here. Usually barely, and it's usually multiple forces aligned against him. Like Tessa's a pain in his ass. There's three knights on the field and an uppity wizard, like, you know, and, you know, like literally Odin gave Harry enough information to tip the battle this last go around. Right.
Well, yeah. And Hades like, was in on it. This one was very much a, no, we're all taking a shot at you.
Right. Right. So yeah, it's almost more of a Enya type of thing where it's like, yeah, okay. Harry won, but it's not like Harry walked in off the street and blasted the doors off the hinges one, you know, he had help. He had a lot of help, you know? So like even his help was outside of his weight class for crying out loud, you know? So, you could say maybe in small favor, he didn't have as much help, you know, that time around, but he still had quite a bit of it, you know? So,
yep.
But yeah, anyway, so.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, whether or not, you know, there's an active conspiracy against Starborn, I think it just seems to be, I don't think you can whittle them down that closely without some measure of a concerted effort, even if it's not a global supernatural one. Like, it just seems like they're going to be in the crosshairs no matter who
yeah, or everyone what. Like, passive events
are just going to kind of come for them.
They're Fulcrum, so they're an agent of change, and certainly the supernatural crowd isn't going to enjoy that. So yeah, as soon as they find out you're a Starborn, now you've got a target on your back, even more so than before, you know, which is probably a big part of why people like the White Council would want to keep that under wraps. So if they have any in their ranks, they're not just getting whacked. But at the same time, clearly put them under observation because Dresden's been watched like a hawk this entire time, you know, and not just because he's a warlock, you know?
Well, you got to wonder how many people who believe in horoscopes they've killed erroneously over the last 40, 50 years, because they're like, I'm a starborn. I got this, you know, and they're like, aha, get him.
Right. Yeah. Well, like, to me, in the back of my mind, I've got this, the some of the opening scenes from Terminator, right, where they go to the phone book and there's three Sarah Connors. So we're going to off all of them, you know, and like, that's absolutely it. Like, just because you're a starborn, like, does that give you power? Right. And the answer is probably yes, but we don't know for sure. If nothing else, it gives them will, but it doesn't necessarily make you a wizard, you know? And so, like, do you just have, like, you know, Harry H. Starborn and his wife just got blasted because, you know, the dude's an accountant. He doesn't even know about the wizard world and the spooky side of the street. He just happened to be born, you know, in that time frame, you know? So,
I mean, that could be that it all takes. Because, like, Listen was presumably just some dude on the street, and now he's
right.
a commandant in evil army.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Listen because, you know, he doesn't seem to have a ton of power. Like, he doesn't seem to have, like, wizardly power, but at the same time, he's, what are they, what's the word? When they get changed, right? They give him gills and all of that stuff. So they're imparted with power, you know.
Very tall turtlenecks.
Well, no, but servitors, right? The word I was looking for. So like the Fomor change them and give them powers, you know, seemingly impart them with something. Obviously, I wouldn't expect, you know, mano a mano, he and Harry are going to have a wizard's duel or anything like that. Listen's probably going to try and shoot him or cut him. You know, he seems more the commando type. You know, but at the same time, he's clearly got the gills and probably some other adaptations, you know, that would benefit the Fomor. But, you know,
any human can pretty much, you know, learn magic as time goes on. Everyone's got potential. So I imagine all the Starborn have just that extra reservoir of whatever's in there, but you still got to work at it. Like, I don't think if somebody hit you correctly, you'd like pass out and wake up and realize the whole block was leveled because you turned into a Super Saiyan while you were passed out. Like it was an anime.
It depends on who's writing it probably, but yeah.
Right. So
we've all seen that show.
Ideally it wouldn't be this.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, cause the comparison too would be like Harry, right? You know, Harry, you know, really wanted to jump far. So that's where his powers manifested, you know, very X-Men like, you know, where he was a teen and then he did the impossible because he wanted to, you know, type of thing. And then DeMorn found him and fostered that skill and everything like that, you know? So, you know, I guess, do the, you know, rest of the Starborn fall into that same category? Did they have, like, one time I jumped really far but it was only me and I looked around and I was like, that was weird, and then just walked it off, you know, instead of being picked up by a talent scout?
They might have something a little extra to allow, like, because, you know, if you or I just did that, we'd still jump exactly as we're going to jump, even if we had the potential to learn magic. But Harry's, you know, wizard lineage and all that's, so, like, he's already got it in him.
Sure.
Plus the Starborn thing. So if you were just some Joe Schmo, but you were a Starborn, yeah, maybe you'd get $100 off that scratch off that one time. But
right,
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you get shot because that's how that works.
Right.
But then you don't have to worry about being turned into a servitor or a battery or eaten by Dracul or whatever is going to have terrible. Or, you know, have to have sex with Mab. Oh, no.
A very small thought of what we were talking about with Margaret. I don't think Ebenezer ever did tell her or any of the wizards. I think she learned it from Lord Wraith, and that was what motivated her to leave.
We think that. I don't think it's ever going to make it to the pages, though. Right.
Maybe.
What are you talking about? That library is totally on forefront of his mind for the last like 6 years now. It's definitely there.
I asked about it once. Like it's like, he's going to write it back again.
It's totally going to happen.
If not more, but yeah, like.
It just.
I would have banked on her learning it more from Justin. I mean, it's not impossible that she learned it from Wraith or that they're, because they were all kind of in this jumble of people who know enough to be dangerous. But, you know, Justin had access to Bob during the Kemmler times and all this stuff. And he seemed really interested in turning two Starborn into his enforcers. So I feel like if anybody knew more, it would be him versus Lord Wraith.
That De Morn would have told Margaret?
Or that it would have been a collaboration, like they both knew enough pieces. And
Margaret was gone by then, though, right? Obviously.
De Morn found Harry, but like I guess it's not
impossible
that De Morn and Margaret spoke.
Well, they were buddies enough. They were associates. That's been...
He was a warden and she was on the run. So maybe they knew of each other.
Yeah.
Even before that, they were friendly.
So am I being an idiot or do we have any idea what the hell his angle was anyway? Like, obviously he was trying to get too close Starborn. You know, he wanted the odds in his favor. He obviously wanted thralls. But what was his end game? Like,
to have the fulcrum in the power of the outsiders.
Okay. Or as a defense against them for himself to control them.
Well, okay, because it's like, the reason why I'm asking is because looking at it from here, going backwards now, he just looks like an idiot. He just looks like a two-bit wizard. Like, I get he was a big old warden and whatever, and he was there when Kemmler went down, and that's where he got Bob, and he knew about Starborn or whatever, but I almost get the impression that it was like he was playing with fireworks and didn't quite get the idea of it, you know, until Harry burned the place down. But I mean, I guess he did summon an outsider and send him after Harry, right? So maybe he was Black Council and we just didn't get to see that closet, you know? Okay, I mean, sure. Yeah.
And so like that could also have been why he wasn't acting as high level as he should have been for his reputation.
But it's kind of weird. We don't know, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We don't know decided for sure. How, because it always was weird to me. I mean, weird. You can always get lucky, but you know, a 16-year-old kid beating this vaunted warden was always there always had to be something else at play. And we've always gotten little snippets about how he got trained by Leah, but not really. And Justin underestimated him, but not really. And so, you know, it's really up to how Jim decides to make it. Like, was this his secret plan all along, or was he just, did somebody shoot him in the back from behind that we didn't see in the in the bushes, magically or otherwise?
Right.
You know, did the ghost of Malcolm slap him in the face? You know, who knows?
Right. Yeah, it struck me in the moment that it's like, okay, so he's collecting all these pieces, but like, what's the end game? You know, like.
Yeah, I tend to go with the side that he's kind of on the Cowl angle, where he thinks he can be the leader or the controller of these primeval forces. Not so much that he wants the world to end, but kind of in the opposite vein of the Nicodemus way, where it's like, well, if it does, as long as I'm King of the Ashes type deal, but with different reasons.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think he wants, you know, like, I don't think he's a true believer like someone like Peabody, who thinks like, oh yeah, the end of everything's coming and that's just cool.
Right. Yeah, like some of the Black Council probably are like, sure, the outsiders are going to come, but I'm going to control them. So that's going to be enough.
Yeah, like, whereas I feel like
Nicodemus,
Cowl and Justin are in that vein where it's like, yeah, no, I can do this. I can be the one to hold the reins. And Nicodemus is like, I'm going to make sure nobody has any reins, and then I'm taking charge afterward.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that take for sure.
And then you've got your people like your Peabodys and who else? Who am I forgetting? I think there was someone else who was kind of crazy enough to... I don't remember.
Gary. Just kidding.
Well, no, because everybody else would have just been Nemesis. So it's like, well, obviously Nemesis wants that to happen, but he is an outsider, so.
Right. Or he's an insider.
Well, he's inside because he keeps staying here, and he's the infiltrator. So of course he's got it. In order to infiltrate, you got to be inside.
Right.
As opposed to the corner hounds, which go back outside. Or, you know, Cthulhu, who's sleeping under the ocean somewhere.
Right.
Hopefully it's a pleasant dream.
Like South Pacific, or is it north now? But yeah.
I don't remember. Well, was the Alaskan ones they were talking about him?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, my take. Like, I feel like it was all but said, right? You know, like,
So would he be under the Arctic then? I mean, I know you can have a church anywhere.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm saying is like, I think originally Relay was supposed to be South Pacific, but you know, maybe it's in the North Pacific now. So,
and hey, the polar ice caps are melting. So he's going to come out soon enough either way.
Right. Yeah. Ask Florida how that's going. So
as long as he goes for Florida first, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is it like the quickest way is a straight line. And that's a lot of the country in between Alaska.
No, he's going to take a portal down to the South Pole and pop up and right. go that way.
Yeah. And then for inexplicable reasons, he goes through the Panama Canal, pops out, you know,
that's why we built
in
it.
The Gulf of Mexico. And
we knew Teddy Roosevelt knew what was coming. So he's like, we're going to give him a canal.
He was absolutely a Venatori or something like that, you know? So yeah, there's no chance, but.
Yeah. I was going to say that would be cool to get it. Like what Teddy Roosevelt, there's a couple presidents like him, Lincoln and Grant, I feel like would be decent. I feel like,
Lincoln. I mean, they made a movie about him being a Venatori. I mean, come on. So,
right. Oh, that's true. No, he was a vampire hunter. He didn't care about the rest
of
the shit.
It's the same thing. Hunter of the Shadows, man. So,
but he had a hard on for the vampires.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Oh, man.
Enough people. I've never been particularly attracted to a vampire myself. Even the
Andreas will be crushed.
Even like, you know, like, Underworld or whatever. She's
yeah, but they were so, they were
for no, the some rest reason of I never house, really whatever, but
I never really thought of them as vampire. I mean, they are obviously, but like I don't look at Kate Beckinsale like that. And it's like ah, vampire. I look at her and it's like ah, Trinity, but in the supernatural world, you know.
Not wrong, but still smoking hot and a vampire technically. So,
well, I think it's because the werewolves actually changed, whereas. They were really just, you know, pointy teeth with the vampires in that one until you got to the
their eyes went all glowy.
That weird bat thing. Yeah. And then you got the floopy eyes, but you didn't get like even in Blade where they turned to dust.
Sure.
Because some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.
There's a few that exploded.
Yeah.
I was going to say they had, they had the UV bullets, rounds. So they might have melted a little. I don't remember exactly how they died.
Gotcha.
But I know they left corpses.
What is it? Anne Rice, right? Like those vampires, the only way that they're going to get me is because they've got like mind whammy powers or something like that. Like I don't really go for the like decadent and whatever stuff, but Kate Beckinsale's like pretty close up to my list for Hall Pass. So I'm just saying, you know, like if not the top of my list, she's like right up there. So, but the wife like harasses me every now and again. Like I must have told her at some point when we were dating because she was like, oh, your girlfriend's here or whatever. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, Kate Beckinsale. And I was like, oh, sweet. So, you know, she came to a convention.
Can you watch the kids tonight? I'll be back tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
She hasn't really like aged a day either. And she's 60 or pushing 60.
Yeah. She's still fit, as they say.
Oh yeah, like her, Salma Hayek, they've really maintained themselves in such a way that it's like you couldn't possibly tell unless you were told how old they were.
Right. Yeah.
And she was a vampire too, if I remember correctly.
True.
She was. But she was the one that the Red Court was based on.
Hey, yeah. Look at that.
Right. So I have dumb thoughts. I'm trying to make sure I get things connected correctly. The Red Court was working with the Black Council to defeat the White Council. That's why outsiders were showing up in some of the battles, right?
Pretty much.
So,
Or they were a pawn of and happy to. Right. Like that's, I don't think they wanted
a linkage. We just don't know how strict, I think.
Yeah. How they much seem did the Red Court know what they were doing? Because Ariana,
I don't think that much.
Yeah.
No, I think they were the muscle. I think they were the useful idiots. I think they were Italy. I think they were just the guys we're going to use and we're going to tell them and string them along and say, we're going to get rid of your competition and you're going to have free reign of this, that, and the other and give you power.
Right. Yeah. Like the red court was the like second strongest nation was the idea. Right. And so it's just natural, you know, we'll put it too on the nose, even though it doesn't fit directly. And if you're a history buff, don't crucify me, but it's, you know, Russia and America, right. We got the Reds, on one side, like I said, too close. But anyway, so we got the Red Corps, and, you know, so they were the two supernatural superpowers. It just makes sense that the Black Council wants them to duke it out, because no matter who wins or loses, they both lose. They lose.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And ultimately, they need the White Council to go down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
So it was a convenience thing, but did the Red Court know? Like, they probably had some like high level advisors. Like, I could see Cowl talking to some of their vassals or whatever and saying, hey, hit here, do this, whatever. But, you know, so, as far as like,
because Cowl and Kamori were at Bianca's party. Bianca started the war. Essentially, Ariana was trying to get revenge on said war by killing Harry, the Starborn, and Ebenezer, the Blackstaff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, did she even know Starborn part of it at all?
I doubt it. She seemed more interested in being ascendant to the Lords of Outer Night. She didn't really.
She wanted a promotion,
right?
I mean, the only one who I could see as having some insight would have been Ortega, because at least he knew enough to know they started too soon. But that could easily just be like being a good general, and like, because he was fine prosecuting the war. It was just, why couldn't we wait a year?
Right.
So I don't think he either knew particularly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to my knowledge, there isn't any evidence that they ever knew. But the reason why we know is because we know that Cowl and Kamori were there, even though they were pretending to be kind of like, you know, subservient in some ways. Right. They were giving out the gifts and whatever. But also we know that outsiders showed up. So presumably that means mortal wizards were involved. That seemed to be the, you know, shock and gasp from, that was Deadbeat, right? Where we're having that conversation, because that's all part of the Battle of Sicily and leading up to.
Also proven guilty, because the outsiders were showing up when Michael went to save baby wardens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, so, and those mortal wizards could be Cowl and Kamori themselves.
Right. You know, yeah.
And, you know, Bianca's sorcerer teacher was Mavra, who we know knows at least something, probably, because she's Black Court and Dracul and all that stuff, and she seems in the know enough.
Right. Yeah, I think when I read it the first time, my thought was like, oh my god, mortal wizards, that means they got some of us, right? Like, I didn't connect it fully to be like, did you still have to be alive? Which is what my current assumption is that you don't just be a magic user, you have to have free will. You have to have whatever that extra human special sauce is to let you do stuff like that, which feeds into the Nicodemus thing, and it becomes this whole ball of yarn. We'll get the whiteboard out later and I'll crazily point to the lines, but that's kind of the idea, is just, you know, like, I think they had to be like actual mortal wizards, which, you know, was why that gasp was such a big deal. Because that means somebody was working with them, right? Somebody from the White Council, presumably, because there is no Black Council. You know, that was, you know, Dresden and Morgan's take in the moment and things like that. But, you know, looking at it backwards, you know, I think that's what it is. It's like probably Cowl and Kamori and or associated friends were there stirring the pot, you know?
Which is probably true, but Harry does make the remark about how you don't want to be taken alive as a wizard, because you can be turned and then you become essentially a Red Court wizard.
Right. Well, and that's why I'm saying, when I read it the first time and maybe even the second time going forwards, that's what I was assuming, is that they had turned wizards and that's how they got that ability. But going backwards now with, you know, the whole Starborn, the Black Council, and on and on and on, I think it was just the Black Council. But yeah, my original reading, I was thinking, obviously they're fighting wizards. Somebody's going to go down. They're going to get turned. And that's where they got that power from.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure Wild Bill and Yoshima are going to end up being Black Court wizards. I mean, obviously you can become a Black Court wizard. Mavra is one. And she probably, whether or not she was before she died, is you can still have or retain that power. And I don't think they have much free will or soul.
Right, but there might be a difference between who is allowed to open a gate to an outsider. Is that something special about
me? Yeah, I could buy that, but, too.
There's more connections here. I'm sorry, I'm just going in a very chaotic way. Mm-hmm. Ariana was at the dinner that revealed that there was something between Margaret and Ebenezer, because they fought like family, because there was some scheme that they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lord Wraith was, he summoned He Who Walks Behind with Marge in Blood Rites.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we knew that connection there, but like Ariana has multiple connections to outsiders that way, to Black Council.
Well, she's at least on the fringe of people.
That's, right. I was going to say, like, that we're like Kevin Bacon, we're still a couple of steps removed, but, you know, she had access to people who had access to outsiders, you know. So,
I mean, even if she knew all these things, she certainly did not, her actions did not indicate that she either cared or knew or seemed to know.
Right.
Like, she was there, but her main concerns were revenge and promotion.
Yeah. I mean, and it would be interesting to have some connection, for example, with the Lords of Outer Night. And maybe they're called the Lords of Outer Night because, you know, they're dealing with outsiders and Oblivion and all of that.
13 of them.
But it's conjecture, right? That's all we're saying. We're not saying you're wrong. We're just saying that to our knowledge and our remembrance, right, there isn't any hard evidence to suggest that they had any direct connections, but there is a lot of circumstantial evidence. So
yeah, I could give them, above anybody else in the Red Court, a look like maybe you have some,
like, I mean, the Red Court themselves, the fact that they're like these little squirmy bat creatures, you've got Kukulkan all but like bursting out of his human shell, right? For all we know, they're baby outsiders to begin with, you know, and whatnot.
Who knows what the Aztec and Mayan gods would have, you know, these ancient primordial gods would have cared about or been involved with either. You know, human sacrifice is you don't need to be an outsider to enjoy that as certain gods clearly do.
Right.
But even still, they were like supplanted, right? You know, right. So like the whole Red Court thing, like they were just like, hey, you know, that's a great idea. And I know how to turn that up to 11, you know, so.
We have no specification of what that scheme was at that dinner that what happened with Wraith and Margaret and Ebenezer and Ariana and whoever else was there. I don't remember. The timing could have been that they were talking about making a Starborn or having some amount of controls of Starborns to control the whatever's happening now, this needing a fulcrum, needing several fulcrums.
Could have been.
I think so, because it was like she had just taken up with Wraith. Like, she wasn't really fully involved with him. Just
and Thomas might not have been born yet.
Right, and definitely Harry wasn't, so it seems like the kind of thing, like, that would have been the most obvious pre-planning stages of, hey, we got this kooky idea, what do you think?
Right, well, it smells of, like, you know, for lack of a better word, like Amway or some other Tupperware type of thing, where it's like, what did they need? So you got all of the bad guys in one room, right? What did they need from Ebenezer at this point that they dared to bring him in, thinking, oh, you're the Black Staff, you're just as bad as the rest
of us.
He's
her dad.
You know?
If he,
well, yeah, she, I mean, that's her idea, maybe, but like, maybe. But what did, like, they need from him? Like, what,
well,
was
he is the Black Staff. He is the one who,
you know,
can withstand the White Council to go against their laws. If he threw in with them, then they have, it's better than having the White Council on their side.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's a more practical reason, I think, is his insulation against things would make him, you know, if you have to do heavy lifting of dark magic.
Sure.
You'd kind of want him to be the one to do it, because he's the one who's going to not turn around and stab. Well, he might turn around and stab you afterward, but it won't be because he went insane. It'll be because he doesn't like you.
Yeah.
Right.
And if it was a discussion about Margaret's children, potential children, maybe she just wants her dad around to protect them. Exactly what happened.
It's possible.
Yeah, but I don't know why she would need that with Ariana and Lord Wraith in tow. Like,
that's
Lord
true.
Wraith, maybe because she's an idiot and he's going to be dad. But like, why is Ariana there? Like, you know.
Well, and who else is there that we don't know about? Like, was exactly. there, was someone like Leah there? Was someone like, you know, how many of these factions did you have or want to have involved?
Right.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Because the more people who know, the more potential danger, but also the more potential allies, you know, it depends on because the red cord and the white cord were always kind of frenemies. So it makes sense that someone like Ariano's there, even though if they always had a contentious relationship between the two courts, even during the war. I don't know that you invite someone like Dracul there.
It's potential. Like, they were talking about Starborns and like, how do we make the best of them? It could have been, if that was the topic.
You've never seen Dracul as excited and supportive as wanting to bring more Starborn into the world so he can eat them. He's like, we're going to bake cookies. I'm in. So like,
yeah, he's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, I can wait 17 years.
Right.
Jelly donuts. Yeah.
Right. Sprinkles, you know.
You think they taste better, like, if they're just Starborn but don't know it? Or do they have to, like, kind of activate it a little bit and then they taste even better? Like, it with the fear, you know, he does the fear thing and it seasons the kids. So Dracul waits until, like, the Starborn are like, ah, you are a Starborn, you know it, and now I'm going to...
Gotta wait till they're ripe, but
yeah.
I gotta imagine whatever the answer is, the wizard ones taste especially good, you know?
Oh, yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a bit of power from it, too. Or... could,
right?
Or at least channels it into something, because, you know, he's got plenty of magic of his own. He can go into a slugfest with Mab, apparently. So is that because of his inherent power, or is that because he keeps eating these things, you know, like a Kemler type?
Well, maybe that's why he's a Starborn, because you are what you eat. So
it could be,
you know. Yeah.
But that's that. We're going to go back into the vampire. How much of a vampire versus proto vampire is he? You know, is that what, like, he's been eating them and then he became something more? Or
it's the vampire of Theseus. Like, after seven eats, like, do you become a Starborn? Or, you know, like.
But that's the thing with Starborn, is apparently you can be whatever you were, and as long as you were standing in the right spotlight whenever that shit happened, you just are a Starborn now. So it's like,
well,
you when you maybe were born, that's a lot of effort, as opposed to knowing when it's coming and just going outside to get a tan.
No, I think we're being a little glib with what that is, but yeah, okay.
So. Well, the way it was described is a spotlight plays over the world, and anybody caught in it at the right time, you have.
But I thought they had to be born. Like, I thought that was one of the operative pieces.
No, it was just anybody caught in it at the time. Maybe there's a stronger version, but
yeah, I thought I had to.
I'm pretty sure it was just anybody caught out in the right time and place would become whatever.
Okay, be the encyclopedia again. Go find the written record.
He's got the book in his hand. Do it.
It was in this one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It was right
before the corner hounds in the parking lot. Or parking garage.
Okay, that narrows it down a bit. So let's see.
Like, every 666 years, something like a spotlight plays over the earth, and anybody caught in it
time of birth. Yeah, I thought it had to do with birth. Like, that's why Elaine was important, because she was the right age, born with a few days of each other, not in the same thing of just be outside at that time, because anyone who knows can do that. But it's starborn. Okay. Birth.
Well, I mean, rebirth. It's perfectly, you know, you're a born again. Starborn again. Shouldn't we have like a fireplace?
I gotta read this book again. Even just some of the snippets, I'm like, hot damn, this is good. Yeah. He's one of mine. And then I slammed my staff. Come on. That's good stuff, man.
We need to do a reread at some point soon. But we really need to get more information out of Ebenezer. So I hope that in a way that he's feeling that he has less amount of time, and he does actually have to start sharing secrets, including what the fuck was that scheme at that dinner and everything else he hasn't been telling. And like, what is the ramifications of the Black Staff? There's one of the thoughts I think I've seen was that using the Black Staff might cause cumulative damage that might also be shortening his life.
I mean, maybe, but I feel like that would have come up.
We've only really seen him use it in changes. And when he killed like 200 people with a sweep of his hand, and there's like a bunch of black gunk that went into his arm and it looked like it hurt. doesn't mean that it will be permanent, but it doesn't mean that it's not permanent.
Sure. I mean, I could believe you could maybe overuse it and then it'll like consume you in the moment. I can't say there is no cumulative effect per se. But he's been around for quite a while for that to have still not necessarily been an issue.
Okay. Every couple, so it actually, it's the beginning of the attack, just for clarity. So every couple or three wizard generations, Ebenezer said that the stars line up just right, and what amounts to a spotlight plays over the earth for a few hours. Any child born within that light is a starborn. I get it, I said. What does it mean? So, yeah.
Okay.
You have born. To be born. So, like, mom can be out there dancing in the moonlight, but a baby's got to pop out. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, I could believe Margaret was doing something akin to dancing naked in the moonlight and then popping him out.
She's a fairy, you know, like honorary, but still, like, definitely dancing naked around the fire is not outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah, the amount of manipulation that Margaret must have had to do to make sure things line up. She knew she was going to die because of the bad luck curse from Lord Wraith. There was no way that she was going to get around that. But she can't just be out in a field where she's not in a hospital or something, because someone has to take care of the infant that was born.
To break it to you. We've done tens of thousands, if not millions of years of not being in a hospital.
And she's a wizard.
She just mage hands that shit. Be like, boom, baby, telekinesis.
I mean, she was in a hospital, but yes.
Like, yeah. Was she a water mage? Even better. She's literally one of the healer class, right? So, you know.
It's like, Codex Alera, but okay.
No, but also listens to wind, right? Like, So listens to wind and in a little bit Ramirez. So Ramirez just took his in a more entropic direction than, so.
Boom. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was mentioned she was in a hospital.
I mean.
I know. But
still, Malcolm was gone and had to come like, pick him up at some point.
P.S. She's a wizard in a hospital. That's bad. Even right, 45 right. years ago. So,
you know, and so like
that was probably a hell of a birth. They were like,
well, I was going to say it was probably some podunk hospital. And she's like, the lights are exploding as she's giving birth to him. Exactly. Type deal. And still to this day, the doctor's like haunted 80 year, you know, an 80 year old woman like by what she saw that night.
Right. And then the baby's head turned all the way around. It was Dresden, so, you know.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Leah was there with the charge of making sure that the baby is safe. Because that's what Leah's been charged with for whatever the fuck Margaret paid for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does Ebenezer know that Leah's Harry's godmother? I would assume so, but I don't fully certain.
I don't think
he's a wizard. I'm going to assume yes.
I wouldn't be surprised one way or the other.
Does Ebenezer know what Margaret paid for or paid with?
Well, as far as he's concerned, it was her soul, regardless of what she got out of it and everything else, right? Like, that's kind of the whole idea, you know? So She was running with dark forces, period, the end, you know, as far as he's concerned, which is ironic because he's, you know, the hitman of the White Council, but
yeah.
I mean, he's a hitman. He's not an intelligence gatherer. He might, you know, two different disciplines.
Right. Yeah. He's a wizard hitman. So it's his job to know. So sorry, that very closely paralleled like my favorite line from Lucky Number 11. So if you've not seen it, that should go on your list. But anyway, I'm a world-class assassin, fuckhead. It's my job to know. So Ebenezer would absolutely say that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he knows plenty and knows enough and does his research. But like, if someone like Rashid were to take his job, I feel like Rashid knows even more just by dint of things.
I mean, yes, but does he know the important stuff? You know, like... Does knowing about the outsiders and defending against them help him with the Black Staff in some way? That would possibly be interesting.
Well, it depends on...
I was going to say, if there was anybody else to take it, that, you know, assuming we're not giving it to Harry, someone like Rashid would be the one.
I was going to say, can we get 5 minutes where Rashid picks up the black staff and kills, you know, three Shoggoths single-handedly before getting ganked by a fourth or something, you know, and then everybody runs because, you know, yeah, he got warfed. So
he hasn't been warfed yet.
Right. But I'm just saying, how badass would that scene be? So
also he's strong enough to help Langtree, you know, stop an entire army with a ward, so
right.
I think he can get that fourth Shoggoth.
Yeah.
But well, the fifth.
The wards probably were Rashid as much as anything. Like obviously he didn't become the Merlin by collecting bottle caps, had to say it. But you know, like his thing is communication magic, right? You know, so he's a bureaucrat and a coordinator and stuff. So
well, and his defensive magic, I mean that's what he specializes right. in is the wards. It's just yeah. the fact that Rashid was helping him. It's like, you know, that
I just
that
gotta imagine says, as the gatekeeper.
I was going to say it says something about either his knowledge and or his power that he's the one tag teaming with Langtree and not someone like Ebenezer.
Right.
Who look, man, can now hold, like he can hold down a bunch of quarter hounds with gravity magic.
Right.
You know, could he hold down an entire army? Probably, maybe for like a second.
Certainly if he had access to that ley line, you know.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean,
so, Harry did it, but yeah.
And whereas Ebenezer just did it in a parking garage, which is much more impressive.
Yeah. Well, without I mean, but line. There was only 13 of them. So Harry did it to an army. I'm just saying.
Well, he did it to like a squad. He didn't do it
like 200 army. Dudes at least. So it's still. I want to see that. Write that as a microfiction. Be like, you did what to how many dudes? You know, Ebenezer gets all excited.
Now we're getting into a quality versus quantity argument. You know, like 13 corner sure. hounds versus
just 200.
An army of cannon fodder.
Random bat yeah. things and jaguar warriors. It's like, eh.
Yeah.
And you needed a ley line, you punk.
Yeah. And you burned that part of your brain out, didn't you? Because you didn't listen to what I told you.
Like, don't mess with vampires.
Right.
Dumbass.
Yeah. So, how's Ebenezer going to go? Does he get to go out with his boots on? Does he have to go out with his boots on?
I think he kind of does, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he goes out kind of getting stabbed in the back, like blindsided, mm-hmm. versus Blaze of Glory.
Blindside
like it'll still be in a battle type thing, and it may even be after everything's settled, and so he'll die on his feet type deal. But I wouldn't be entirely shocked if he just got, you know, stabbed in the back type deal.
Irony of ironies that it's a White Court vampire after he's made peace with Harry and Harry's got him on his side and everything, and then one of the sisters does it, or even Laura.
Fuck it, make it Thomas.
Yeah. If we ever get Thomas back, you know.
Does Thomas know Ebenezer's his grandfather? He should, right? Because he knew who Margaret was.
I don't think it's a discussion that they've ever had, but I can't imagine he doesn't have common sense enough to put that together.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. This has to be entertained just for a moment.
No.
But yeah. The answer is no. Unless Ebenezer is like world-class actor, like, you know, he is the Palpatine of acting, because like you would be able to tell in 3 minutes when you're fighting Cal and they're like, "God dang boy, what did I tell you?" You know, like how would he control the accent? Like, okay, wizard magic and he's hundreds of years old.
And he has to be wearing platform shoes.
He slips into Scottish when he gets angry at Harry.
That's what the voice modulator's for, Justin. Duh.
Right. So,
I mean, come on.
So
the biggest thing to shoot it down, truly, is when Cowl and Harry meet in Deadbeat, Cowl says, "I want to see what has the warden so scared." And Ebenezer knows what has the warden so scared.
Yeah.
Because it has him scared, too, probably to some degree.
Yes. So Cal, whoever Cal is, they did not meet face-to-face at that point until before Deadbeat. I still would bet $5 that it's Petrovich.
Sure. Yeah,
I would happily bet another $5 of the director's money that it's Petrovich.
Yeah. You're already like $50 in the hole. You can't just be making these bets.
Yeah.
No, can't afford it. Pay us more, listeners, to feed my gambling habits.
Yeah. I can see Ebenezer doing some form of dramatic last stand.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and so what I feel like...
Where do we need a new crater is the question. So,
well, I think if that happens, it's probably going to happen in the BAT. I think that's when a lot of people are going to start dropping.
Okay. Yes, but I don't fully know if I want to put money that Ebenezer would make it to the BAT before something else along the way has to take him out, and then Harry was alone during the BAT.
But then that, to me, I think the only other one that would take him out potentially is the Dragon Book, because I think that's big enough.
I was definitely thinking Kaiju, you know, is up there, unless he's getting stabbed in the back during some other skirmish, in which case it could be anywhere. Right, probably not 12 months, probably not Mirror, unless we see Mirror Ebenezer go out or something like that.
Yeah, like that's one way to do it and keep it on the back burner. Because, I mean, here's the thing about 12 months. Like, he might show up at the end, but after the surgery he's just had, I'm not sure he's going to be around all that soon.
What if that's where Harry gets the Black Staff?
In the Mirrorverse?
Yeah. What if there's two?
We have two Black Staffs? Oh, God.
Right?
Mother Winter might be pissed.
How does that work? Like, would he be able to use that across dimensional lines like that? Like, probably, because it's a focus, not like a thing. And we've said that the mothers, the mothers are just on the outside or just on the inside of the multiversal line.
They're closer to Uriel in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're closer, but they're on the inside.
Yeah, there are multiple versions of mothers. Okay. They're just closer to more cohesive.
Probably the outer edge, but.
Yeah. Right, but if.
So there's a council of Mother Winters.
It could be.
But. Yeah. Okay, I can only think in terms of like the theme of fairies is that the symmetry and balance and everything that they have to function with. If you take something as powerful as a Mother Winter's walking stick, Black Staff, across to another universe, then those universes are not in balance anymore. And something that's really vital as a weapon is not there to help the Mirror Mirror universe. And so it is more vulnerable. I think there will be a need for balance across those items. Someone is going to try to preserve them, at least, for each universe to be able to fight the outsiders as best as they can.
I think those
are all it takes is one points. Harry to fuck up, right?
It's true. Right. That's the idea, is that only one universe needs to fall and it's all there. But the rule of cool, I'm just saying.
I just want to flow on what I was saying, though, because Harry himself is also one of these weapons and these fulcrums that are in every universe that they're trying to work with. But Mirror Universe Harry has been killing them.
And not every universe has a Harry. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that they're killed. Sometimes it's a Sally, and sometimes it's probably Elaine, you know, and other stuff like that, right? So,
yeah.
But by dint of the fact that we're dealing with the multiverse, not every universe would have a Harry, you know, so...
Yes, not every multiverse will have everything in it, because that's the whole point of being infinite. But
right. So, I mean, one question could be like, you know, are there edge universes where like all the universes where there's a Harry are the ones that are defending the gates, so to speak? You know, like the problem with the multiverse is like it's, you know, Vulcan, right? Infinite diversity and infinite combinations. Are there universes that don't have magic? Is that how that works? Do we got Jedi Harry and Star Trek Harry? You know, like not literally just like he's a fan of one or the other in the universe, but like, you know, there's like, you know, think of like King the Conqueror and all the variations for that, you know, if you've been keeping up on Marvel and, you know, need another point of reference, but you're welcome. But stuff like that, where it's just like, you know, like, are there universes that didn't have a Merlin and therefore didn't get wizardry? Are there universes that don't have an Odin?
Right. So if every universe has something like Uriel, because Uriel is that core to the universe, but the mothers aren't.
Every universe just has Uriel. He just the one, theoretically.
Right. But that means so Uriel is across all of them. And any of the archangels and the white god and all things like that.
Right.
But the mothers may not be. So even like maybe you can take the mother's walking stick from one of the universes that they aren't the guardians at the gate.
Well, but she's not doing a bunch of guarding in our universe anyway. So
also, we have to remember this,
it's her faction.
This mirrorverse is, it's one decision that's already happened in ours. So the parallel is essentially like the line is this. Like yeah, these are yeah. two, it's these are splinter. Identical universes except for one event, and that's how it branches. So it's like mm-hmm. right next to each other. So the differences, right. as far as mechanics go, are going to be nil.
Right. True.
It's just a matter of
characters. Yeah, especially with like who's at the gates and whatever like that. Unless Nega Harry has been running around offing, like if he's off Mab and a dozen other people, then maybe, you know, something big shifts like that. But, and then you got to wonder where he's been getting all the other Harrys. Like, are they all also locally, you know, like, well, that day I had a hot dog instead of Coke and cereal for breakfast. So that guy's goner, you know, like, you know, minor decisions.
That's the quote unquote problem with the multi. You could have a multiverse that runs exactly the same way 100 or 99.99 infinite percent, except one day you had two hot dogs instead of one. And that's the only difference that will ever happen versus you could be made of hot dogs.
I've seen that movie. That part was exactly. weird among all the other parts that were weird.
But. I think it takes that, the kind of everything everywhere all at once method where it's like, there's all these possibilities, but there's always, it branches out into what's more ridiculous versus what's closer to you.
Right.
Obviously the mirrorverse is going to be a direct parallel and it's just going to be who changes from that one decision, but it's the same world, it's the same people. It's just, they're going to have lived a different life.
That one decision was 15 years ago. It's not the decision that was made 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. And it, as far as decisions go, it's much more sizable than whether or not you had a Coke for breakfast. Right. So
right.
it's still, it is a parallel branch, but there is still going to be some space there with all the other adjacent.
Right. It's going like to be the events warrior, that change.
Right.
But the world itself is not fundamentally like, we're not worried about this world not having magic or anything.
The sky's not pink and yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I'm just saying like in the entire multiverse, there are going to be universes that don't have a Harry, that he just was never born.
Sure.
You know, there
are universes. An infinite number, in fact.
Right. There are universes where Margaret got killed before the act. She died in childbirth. She never got the idea, on and on and on. So the fact that Harry is there or isn't there, something else would have to fill that void if we're going to play hardball with the idea that like one universe falls and they all fall. So either Uriel's got a lot of other, you know, pies in the oven, an infinite number of pies in an infinite number of ovens, or, you know, you've got some kind of barrier universe where that's where that shit takes place. Maybe I don't, whatever. I'm starting to get a headache and some of that's a lack of caffeine and some of it's water, but some of it's this. So,
yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I think. Of all these kind of ways you can go, I think this is the best way because it's one very close parallel based on one decision. And you're essentially seeing a dark version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
And it'll be a self-contained resolved thing. And that's as opposed to we're jumping around through the paint universe being chased by a multiversal Shoggoth that is going to eat everything.
Right. Right.
So, we did it. We even got another story in there. Congratulations, us.
We're so good at this.
All right, people. This is the point where you pay us now for our efforts. we have a Patreon, I'm led to believe.
We did the song and the dance. Now we get the nickel.
Two nickels. Because it's weird that it happened twice.
Right.
That's the meme, I believe.
Good job. I know what we're doing this summer.
Okay, so we have a Patreon next. What are we doing next week? Are we done
with the movie?
Yay, movie! Yes! Finally, the best part of this. We get to watch it.
I've been talking about it for like 2 months, and now I get to finally watch it, and then I don't get to talk about it ever again, I guess.
Not true.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have lots of not recovered to throw into the channel.
Yeah.
Because that's been the last like month and a half is just Lord of the Rings in that channel, which is the perfectly acceptable use of that channel.
Soon it will be Arnold. I think.
Oh, even better.
So, I know, right?
I was going to say, if there's anything to get me off of Lord of the Rings, it would be the Arnold arc.
Pretty much. Like, there's so happy. There's so many good Arnold lines. Come on. So, yeah. And it's just unfortunate we only picked so many movies and that they were random. And so, like, there's so many good ones that we're not going to see.
I forget. Did we decide one a piece?
No, I think I just picked five because
he made a list. Yeah. And we're trying to go off of that because, like, it was a randomized list. So it was some random bits of Arnold's filmography. But, like, I don't know. Maybe we should.
Well, as much as I
think it'd be good and fun.
Yeah, it was just to avoid the arguments, though, so that we don't have, like, you know, we don't have to take two episodes worth of, like, okay, you know, are you going to actually go watch Conan? Because you should. Are you going to go watch Kindergarten Cop? Because you probably should. Are you going to go watch True Lies? Well, you have. Finally, that's what started it. So, you know, like, there's a lot, and there's certainly more than five, you know. So I really wanted Last Action Hero to make the cut, for example, you know, so which would be pretty good as far as, like, having a multiverse discussion, but, you know, like, at least multiple universes. But, you know, like, there's just a bunch of really good Arnold movies. And then, of course, that doesn't even talk about the, like, obligatory, like, Terminator.
Predator. Terminator Crew.
Yeah, so.
Commando.
Yeah. But both of them, as in the only two Terminator movies that exist, you don't need to watch
Number
three.
That is correct.
So. Or four or five or six.
I don't even want to hear about T3. No, stop. There were two Terminator movies. Shut up.
Yeah. I was okay with Dark Fate. I know I'm alone there sometimes, but I liked Dark Fate well enough. Genesis was... you know, okay-ish. What was it? Salvation or whatever the other S-word one with Christian Bale right out. Yeah, forget that noise. So, but yeah. So it's like, you could watch five Arnold movies and not leave the Terminator franchise. So yeah, five is a very small amount of his filmography. So we can update the list. So
yeah, I think people should leave comments of their favorite Arnold movies and then we'll
I think we've mentioned them all.
Yeah. Let's just go to his IMDb, scrape the list, put it on Twitter.
We haven't even gotten to Twins and Junior yet. I mean,
right. Okay. Some people really like those movies, you know, like I'm not,
I like Twins. They're not I don't think I ever bothered with Junior, but I like Twins. Yeah. Twins was funny.
Yeah. Twins is cute, you know, but.
Fucking The Sixth Day. And
right. That one did make the list, I think, actually. So.
What was the other one?
No, it's End of Days rather than The Sixth Day, I think. Yeah. One of those two.
What was the Mars one?
Total Recall.
Total Recall. Yes, right. Another one that I really think, like, you know, it's
that was just another one of my childhood movies.
Yeah. Okay. So we can skip that one. But
okay. So come join us next week when we start Return of the King, the movie, not the book. Yeah. Done with the book.
We finished the book, finally. And then we'll tell us the movies of Arnold that we should watch, and we'll decide if we're going to update the list.
Obviously, Jingle All the Way.
Or you save that for a Christmas movie.
Didn't we do that already? I got no problem watching it again. Don't get me wrong. But I think we did it already during our Christmas movie stuff.
I have never seen this movie.
Oh, then we're definitely doing it.
But you do it now or save it for Christmas? Whatever.
We can save it for Christmas. That's fine. That's fine to save it for Christmas because then that's just a bonus Arnold movie we get to watch later in the year.
Exactly. I think I've only seen it once or twice. Like, I think it's good enough. It's just, it loses out to a bunch of other favorite Christmas movies. Like that it's, hurts. It, well, I mean, there's that, but it's like, you know, I like Elf. I like Jim Carrey's The Grinch. I really love The Christmas Story and, like, all of its variations for the most part, you know. So, or not Christmas Story. Christmas,
I was gonna say, you just one variation. It's just 24 hours of it.
Yeah, like Christmas Carol and all of the variations for the most part. So it winds up being like fifth or lower, you know. It, but not that it's bad. It's just like
no.
it, It's tough. I
usually stick to three these days. I stick to the Muppet one. I stick to Jingle All the Way, and I do It's a Wonderful Life usually. I don't mind other Christmas. Like, I'll watch The Grinch. I've never been big on Elf.
It's like one of the only Will Ferrell movies I like, man. He's got to have that one. So,
yeah. Yeah, I would. I don't know which one I would pick. It might actually be Step Brothers, amazingly. I think it's just because of the end where they beat the shit out of all the kids, and I found that endlessly hilarious at the time.
I like Talladega Nights.
I only ever saw it the once, and I don't remember being particularly. But whatever. We don't have to go on a Will Ferrell arc. Or, you know what? We can do that in 20 years when we're really scraping the barrel for content.
Look at this. It's so exciting.
It worked.
Sweet.
I will send that link as soon as possible.
We did it.
Awesome. All right.
Make sure you get your memes and GIFs ready.
We have a series of movies to watch. There will be memes waiting for you on Discord.
Yeah. See ya.